Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today's episode, we're going to dive into the link between trauma and digestive health. And this includes complex trauma, childhood trauma, PTSD. We're going to look at how the trauma we've experienced affects how we actually digest and how our gut health is affected by that. So let's dive in. Lena, you want to start us out?
Sure. This is a really interesting topic to me. I know for years working with highly anxious teens, I've written a lot of letters for kids to have 504 plans, which is just under a
IEP.
Yeah, just under an IEP. And it allows kids to have some accommodation in regards to mental health and other issues. And a lot of my kids, I've needed to write letters about bathroom breaks because many of my anxious teens needed longer bathroom breaks as a result of upset stomach, worry about throwing up, that sort of thing. And so this has been familiar to me for years. But the interesting thing about what's happening lately is that there's a lot more research that's linking early childhood trauma with the altering of the gut biome, with the difficulty with digestion, the way it affects the muscles in your digestive tract. It's really fascinating.
It is. And I started down this path about 10 years ago, looking at the brain-gut connection. And not specifically, you know, it did coincide with when I started researching mass trauma, but I wasn't necessarily putting those pieces together. I knew that we had a connection between our brain and our gut. And I knew that the majority of our serotonin was actually produced in our gut so that it was affecting our mental health. But this, there has been some really great strides made, I think, in the research in the last 10 years. And we know more now.
Yes, we do. And I think it's really encouraging. The bidirectional access means that whatever's happening in our brain and our gut, they're affecting each other. And the idea of being able to work on things in the body, like calming the body down in order to help both your gut and your mental health and mental well-being is really exciting to me. So it's not just that we're going to be on a special diet, although there are some really interesting studies about eating for trauma recovery that I think are really valuable. What we're talking more about is how this happens, what it does to affect your body, how you can take steps to heal both your body and your mind.
Absolutely. And so let's start out by talking about that brain-gut biodirectional feedback. We know that the old Western notion of the disconnection between the brain and the body is completely inaccurate. We know that the body and the brain are, in fact, constantly communicating. And the gut is called the second brain. Again, the majority of our serotonin, which is the chemical that helps us actually, it's not only in charge of kind of giving us the ability to feel happiness and, you know, contentment, it's also in charge of the motility of our bowel movements. So serotonin, the majority, is produced in our gut. And so what we have is a very, very active communication between the brain and the gut.
And the vagus nerve, we talk a lot about the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve is that bidirectional nerve that gives the information both up to your brain and down into your body and vice versa. It's interesting because some of the research I was reading is that people who've experienced trauma are significantly more likely to live with irritable bowel syndrome and other functional bowel problems or digestive issues. I think it was around 2015 that there was a researcher out of the Mayo Clinic that did a study about all types of early childhood trauma in families and in the first few years of living situation, and how that affected your microbiome and your ability to digest. And one of the problems with trauma is that when you're in trauma, it alters your fight or flight, rest and digest balance. And unfortunately, once you're out of the traumatic experience, it does not easily return back into balance. The body still has this sense that there is imminent danger, maybe because there is, if there's constant chaos or rage or addiction issues in your childhood. So the ability to understand that there are lots of things that can be impacting our gut health. And one of the articles I read recommended that doctors become more familiar with how PTSD, childhood trauma, and even traumatic brain injuries can impact the gut biome and how that will affect people's gut health.
Yes. And I think that that's such a great direction that hopefully Western medicine will continue to go in. And one thing that we know about trauma is that when a traumatic event happens, whether it's a pattern in childhood where you are in constant danger, or it's a single event trauma, you are going to get stuck in a sympathetic response unless you deal with it. And that is why the work we do is so critical, because we see people who come into our program that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and they have been stuck in that fight or flight sympathetic response, or maybe even a dorsal response. And so it doesn't necessarily matter what type of trauma you've had. If you haven't processed it, you're going to get stuck in that response, and that's going to affect digestion.
Yes. And your digestion affects your general health. One of the articles I was reading talked about it alters something in the digestive tract that doesn't allow micronutrients to be absorbed in the same way that people who have not had trauma.
Yep, I read that too. So you have a lack of absorption, you have a lack of motility. And this doesn't happen to every single person, but you can pretty much guarantee you're going to have some sort of
effect to your gut health from trauma?
One of my staff reached out to me a couple months ago and asked if I thought IBS was related to trauma. And I sent her a text back and said, absolutely. I totally think they're related. And I didn't have as much information as I do now as we were preparing for this podcast. But I'm going to reach out to her again and send her some links of articles that talk about how this happens. And hopefully it will help her in her healing journey.
Yes. And so if you've had trauma and you're not noticing any signs of digestive health, that's awesome. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, not experiencing a lack of absorption. It doesn't mean that you don't have any, but perhaps you haven't noticed anything, because I didn't realize how off kilter my gut biome was until I started addressing it about 10 years ago. And then once I started addressing it, I realized how affected it had been. At the time, I thought it was from my former food choices, and didn't realize, you know, it was also from childhood trauma.
Yes. And I think that's the case with a lot of medical personnel and professionals in Western medicine, is that the idea that early childhood trauma can affect your gut biome from your very young years and then leads to this continued off-kilter imbalance. I think we've been taught as a culture in America, particularly, that if we just ate better, we would feel better. And there's truth to that. I mean, absolutely. But that doesn't take into consideration how trauma may have altered your gut-brain axis, your ability to absorb nutrients. And so one of the articles that I was reading talked about some things that we can do to change some of that.
Before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit about specifics, what someone might see that is affected by this. So obviously, if you have IBS, you probably know. But some of the other things are constipation, diarrhea, vomiting, feeling nauseous. Trying to think what else, if you don't have a diagnosis of IBS, what are some of the other physical symptoms? Those are the ones that come to mind for me.
Yeah, I think there are also symptoms of like gut stomach pain. And that can be hard to tease out because the doctors are trying to figure out a medical explanation. And sometimes the explanation can be the problems with digestion that come out of trauma or toxic stress.
Well, and I think the other tricky part of gut pain is when we have anxiety, for me, it shows up in my gut and I'll start to feel anxious. And a lot of times that can show up in the gut. And so teasing that out is tricky. So we know that there's hope, and we know that we can change this. Let's talk about some of the recommendations for addressing this.
Absolutely. One of the articles I read suggested that just the mere acknowledgement of historical, systemic, and individual trauma and the way it can negatively impact health, mental health, and eating habits is an important place to start. When we have that awareness, then we can have more ability to consciously make choices about what to do with that awareness and that information. And then another suggestion was, instead of focusing on BMI or weight, actual pounds, the idea would be to focus on holistic health and well-being. And what that does is it takes us out of the cultural trap of doing things for the way we look and are perceived by people, and leads us more down a holistic path of doing things so that we feel better.
Yes. And that is really the core of the trauma recovery work that we know works in the research. And that's what we do with our clients is, not only do we bring awareness, so awareness is always the first step. And the second step is going to be using that awareness to make agentive decisions to move forward. And one of the first places we start to help guide people is by becoming very aware of their body.
Yes. Yes. And that's really valuable, because until you become reconnected with your body, you're missing all sorts of information from your body. And I like to say that in America, we're divorced from our body. And we have all sorts of pithy sayings that support that: no pain, no gain, etc. And we don't want to be divorced from our body. Our body has lots of really valuable information for us. And so when we are also able to understand how trauma affects not only our digestive system, but also our eating habits, the way we think about things, which can be around food, we can have an understanding that can help us reduce shame and stigma and blame around how trauma impacts our gut health. And so many of us don't realize that this is a very real thing. And we talk a lot in our program about being able to notice without judgment, so that we can let go of the shame. And judgment gets in the way of gathering information so that you can be educated and make changes.
One of the best ways is using mindfulness. And mindfulness, once we have that awareness, allows us, in terms of eating and changing some of the constructs that we've been kind of subconsciously working in, allows us to choose when we want to eat based on hunger, because mindfulness is an attunement to our body. And one of the most prevalent symptoms of trauma is a dissociation. And when we're dissociated and we're checked out, it's very difficult to actually understand when we're hungry and when we're full. And so using the principles of mindfulness, where we're attuned to the body, helps us in a very practical way feel when we're full.
Yes. And this was really interesting, what I read in one article. I was fascinated by this. It says that people are often advised not to eat in front of the television, sit down while you eat, and be aware of what they're eating. All right. So most of us have heard that. But this article points out that it's important, because when you're focusing on what you're eating, the brain can begin to send more digestive enzymes to your mouth and stomach, helping break down the food into nutrients.
So it's very biological as well.
Exactly. And when the food isn't properly broken down in the mouth and the stomach, the entire digestive system is affected. And that then leads to digestive problems and inflammatory reactions.
That makes so much sense. So a good micro step would be, see if the next time you're watching TV, if you can not eat.
That's one of my favorite times to eat. That and reading.
Yeah. So it's a challenge to actually sit with food and focus on the food.
Yeah. And the biological process of focusing on the food, allowing more breakdown of nutrients so it affects your gut health positively, is super interesting to me.
Well, anything else you want to leave our listeners with?
I don't think so. Maybe the last thing would be curious about what you experience with your own health and your own gut, and use benevolent curiosity, loving curiosity that stays out of judgment and away from shoulds. Because as soon as we are in judgment, or we are using the word should in our thoughts or our language, we are actually more in our fight or flight response in our nervous system. And in our fight or flight response, we want soothing. And the soothing oftentimes is the behaviors that are leading to some of our challenges with our digestion. So try to stay out of judgment, be curious, lovingly notice that it might make sense that given the circumstances, you might not have mindful eating, and stay out of shame around that.
I love that. That's great. Well, thanks again for joining us this week, and we look forward to being with you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health, and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.